So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to your rugged cross, and it changes someday for a crown.
I got a thank you card here. I had this here in my Bible. I intended to share it a while ago and I forgot I had it. At Temple Baptist Church. I thank you all for your love and support. It was a beautiful memorial service. Signed, Dorothy James. One thing that you're going to notice about Dorothy James, the Lord willing, she'll be here every service. If you can be present every service, I encourage you to do it. You'll find her here. I'm only here on Sunday mornings. But she'll be here tonight in the evening service. She'll be present Wednesday night. Encourage your heart by being here yourself. Now turn with me, if you would please, in your Bible, to John chapter 14. And verse number 19. I want to speak to you today by the help of the Lord on the subject, the risen Christ. We do not serve a dead Savior.
Amen.
Our Savior is risen.
Amen.
He's alive. You go to the tomb of the various gods of the world, and you'll find the inscription that he lies here. This is the tomb. This is where he buried. You go to the place where they buried the Lord Jesus. Angel of the Lord would say to you, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen." If you want to talk to the Lord, just bow your head. Begin to talk.
Amen.
For he's present.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 14:19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Folks, we are conquerors because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to live. We're going to conquer death because Christ has already conquered it for us. In the physical life, more than likely, we're going to die. But we're not going to stay dead. Because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, we shall rise also.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, my first point is, he has conquered physical death. He rose from the dead. Turn with me in the Bible to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 9 reads, "Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. And that's still true today. Death hath no more dominion over him. I just quoted a verse of scripture. Death hath no more dominion over the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ being raised from the dead, death hath no more dominion over him. He rose from the dead. And then I want you to notice that he raised others from the dead. Not only did he rise from the dead, but he raised others from the dead. Turn now to the book of John, chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 43. And here we read, "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Wouldn't that be something to have been there at that time? There at the grave of Lazarus. And Jesus was there, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And out of that grave came like a mummy. I'm walking, but I don't think he walked. I think he was bound. He kind of floated out of there. He came out of there. Bound hand and foot, it says here in verse 44. With grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to those that were there, "Loose him and let him go." So he raised Lazarus from the dead. Then he raised not only Lazarus, but he raised the daughter of Jairus. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 54, come on in. Come in, folks, come in. Luke chapter 8 and verse 54. Luke chapter 8 and verse 54, he took that girl by the hand and cried, saying, "Maid, arise." Or he called, saying, "Maid, arise." There wasn't but one thing for that dead girl to do, and that was to rise, because Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the dead, said, "Maid, arise," and she arose. So we find the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and then he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the daughter of Jairus, and then he raised the widow's son in Luke 7. Turn with me now to the book of Luke and chapter number 7. They're here at the gate of the city of Nain. Now let me read to you just a short passage here. I didn't have it here in verse number 11. Came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. The funeral procession, I guess you call it. He's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow woman, and much people of the city was with her. There's a crowd of people here. When the Lord saw her, in verse 13, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." No doubt she was weeping. And he said to her, "Weep not," in verse 13. And they came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. Just touched him. They stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Didn't call him by his name, but I tell you what, he could have. He could have called him by his name. After all, he knew everything. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead, in verse 15, sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Boy, wouldn't that have been something else to have been there to have seen that. Jesus raised that young man from the dead. However old he was, I don't know. But I just know he was a young man. He could have been puberty, young teenage boy. Who knows? But God raised him. The Lord Jesus raised him from the dead. And then I want you to notice that he promises to raise it all from the dead. John chapter 5. Back up about one page here in your Bible. John chapter 5. And verse 28. "Marvel not at this. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. What that's saying is not just saved people, but there are two resurrections. Everybody that dies is going to be raised from the dead.
Right.
Yep. Everybody. There are two resurrections. There is a teaching, it's called a general resurrection. General resurrection raises everybody at the same time. And they get it from right here. But that's not what the scripture teaches. The truth of the matter is, saved people are resurrected first. saved people are resurrected first. John chapter 5, verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, that's the first one. Then they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, that's the second resurrection. That's the resurrection of lost people. They'll be raised not to go to heaven, but wind up in hell itself. Of course, they'll be, you die lost, and in hell you lift up your eyes. Then you be raised. You face judgment. And the judgment is passed, and then you're cast in to hell itself. Lost people do not have any hope at all. Oh, may you be thankful for the fact that God in His divine providence saw fit to open your eyes to be able to see your lost condition, and in repentance toward God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, most people die lost.
That's right.
Most people go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Hate to think about it, but it's truth. Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you go to hell. Oh, may God be gracious to you in opening your eyes and revealing Christ to you. And may the blessed Holy Spirit give you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the day when you came to trust Christ as your Savior. I well remember when the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and revealed Christ to me. It wasn't a matter of my trying to believe on the Lord. The Lord just gave me faith to believe with. And if you're saved, that's what He did for you. The Lord gave you the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for others, especially your family members that have not yet come to know Christ as their Savior. Pray that they might come to a place that the Spirit of God would reveal Himself to them and give them faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As God in His grace and mercy saw fit to save you, oh, but that He might be able to do the same thing for your family members. If there's anybody in the world that you ought to want to see saved, it ought to be your own family. We want to see everybody get saved, but I'll tell you right now, you especially want to see your family members get saved. Pray for your children that they might be saved. That's one thing by the grace of God we've done through the years. And that's to pray for our kids, our grandkids, from the time that they were born, that they might come to know Christ as their Savior early in life. Oh, it's good to be saved any time, but it's better to be saved early in life. Someone has said, and I believe it's the truth, it's easier to reach kids than it is to reach adults. Older people, they're harder to win to Christ. It's better to get the gospel to them while they're young. They might be able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while they're young. They get older, it's harder to reach them. Seems like it's harder for them to believe on the Lord. Oh, pray that God would save young people. Save your young family members. So he raised Jairus' daughter, and he raised the widow's son, and he promised to raise all from the dead. And then I want you to notice that he has conquered not only physical death, but he's also conquered spiritual death. John chapter 1, verse number 1. The book of John, chapter 1 and verse 4. John 1, 4. The Bible says God is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. God is life. And the life was the light of men. John chapter 1 and verse number 4. He has conquered spiritual death. God is life itself. Not to be in Christ is to be in spiritual death. This is the natural condition of man. The natural man is in spiritual death. I recognize most all of you here are in spiritual life. That is, you have been born again. You've been saved by the grace of God. You thank God for that. But not everybody's that way. Most people are still in spiritual death. They're alive physically. They can move about and they have their being. They're alive physically, but spiritually they are dead. And they will stay dead until they hear the gospel of Christ, until the Spirit of God regenerates them and creates in them new life to not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is still spiritually dead. Oh, thank God if you're saved. You thank God that you're saved. You thank God that you have spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So not to be in Christ is to be in death. And this is a natural condition of every man outside of the Lord Jesus. And it's through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit calls men out of death into life. A man before he's saved, he is in spiritual death, and he'll remain that way until the Spirit of God calls him out of that death. Preacher can't do it. Your mama can't do it. It takes the Spirit of God to call a man out of spiritual death into spiritual life. If you're saved, you're saved because the Spirit of God called you out of that spiritual death into life. Believers live, you see, in Christ. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He that hath the Son is saved. He's got life. And he that hath not the Son, he that is not saved yet, doesn't have life. He's still spiritually dead. Are you alive? Or are you dead? If you're not saved, you're still dead. Oh, you're alive physically, but dead spiritually. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're alive in Christ Jesus. I recognize most everybody here. You have made profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. I believe you're saved. You've trusted Christ your Savior. You're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You thank God for the life that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, He's conquered physical death, He's conquered spiritual death. And He has conquered, thirdly, eternal death. Eternal death is the exclusion from the presence of God. By His death, the Lord Jesus Christ merited for us eternal life. We wouldn't have it without His death. The natural life does not end everything. A lot of folks say, oh, things go so bad here, I just wish I could die. In other words, folks would say, I wish I could just die and end it all. But folks, that don't end it all. The truth of the matter is, that's just the beginning. Yep. There is life beyond the grave. There is life after death. And if you don't know Christ, it won't be a good life. It won't be a good life. Can you imagine being alive but dead spiritually, and in hell lift up your eyes, being in eternal flame forever and ever? Someone said, I don't believe in it. May not believe it, but brother, that's true. People say, I have no problem believing in heaven, all the beauties of heaven and the glory of heaven. I like to think about that. Oh, how nice it would be to be with the Lord in heaven. Everybody died. No, they don't all go to heaven. The truth of the matter is, most of them die and go to hell. Most of them die and go to hell. Why is it? Because they hadn't been born again. Yeah, you must be born again to go to heaven. You live in this life and you die without Christ, and in hell you lift up your eyes. Oh, we need to let people know that. You don't want to go to hell? Then seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Oh, ask the Lord to save you. You don't want to go to hell. When you die, you want to go to be with the Lord. Question to you, my hearers today. I know most all of you pretty good. Have known you for a long time. Oh, by the way, Today is the last Sunday in March. Is today the 30 or 31st?
31st.
Today's the 31st. Tomorrow is the first day in April. First day in April. April's a big month for me. For over 80 years now, April has been my birth month. I celebrate my birthday in April. Don't forget that. Next month, I'll be another year old. Something else for me in April. Anybody know what it was? Danny knows.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody, sir. I've been here at this church in April. I've been pastor of this church for 25 years. I don't know about you, that's a long time. I pastored by the grace of God Park Ridge Baptist Church. I was there for 34 years as their pastor. I began as a pastor when I was 23 years old. I pastored there for 34 years, and then I was out of the pastorate for 5 years. Didn't pastor anywhere. I thought it was over. I had lost my wife. My first wife. I thought it was over. Then I met Ramona. She brought new life to me. And right after I met Ramona, 6 months after I met Ramona, 6 months after I met Ramona, I came here to be your pastor here at Temple. Oh, thank you. And I thank God for the time that I've had the privilege to be here. Thank you, Pastor. I got off on my way. I mean, let's all stand, please. Brother Wade, this message.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who loved us, came and lived among us, and took our sins upon his own body on the tree. And thank you that he rose again. Thank you that because he rose, we too shall rise. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of salvation to us. Thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it all possible and true. Heavenly Father, help us to always remember we have new life in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the great gift of salvation. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that enables us and helps us to live our life. And I pray that you will help us to live a life that's pleasing to you, and so that others can see our good works and glorify you, our Heavenly Father. Be with us as we go from here and bring us back at the next appointed time. And I pray that all that we say and do will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen.